Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown. Yeah.
Oh, welcome along to MG's Rugby League Rundown, the best midweek rugby league podcast in the business. Good afternoon, MG.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, oh, it's been a quiet day. So I've had a few coffees and I've tried to have a sleep, but I couldn't have a sleep. And so, but what a dramatic round 21. I know we're going to talk all about it, but we saw something that was unprecedented for mine. Never seen it before. Never seen the Ricky Stewart press conference from another coach before. And let's just get rip straight into it, eh?
Fisher, Harris, Taps, they're accidents, you know, and in this collision game, I understand that. But, you know, where Salmon kicked Tommy, he ain't on. And I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
Yeah, that's as I said, I've been saying all week, and every time I hear the audio, it doesn't get any easier because it's pretty personal, and we know it has been personal because it's still, you know, lingering. It's expected that Ricky will get a suspension today of a week and a fine of around 20 grand, which I think is probably apt. There's got to be a precedent set that you can't be just walking into a press conference and unloading on someone because of a personal issue you've got. That could have been handled so much differently. And the fact that Penrith beat them, I think, played a part in the tirade as well. So 26 points to 6 without Cleary, Luai and Kikau. I know the Raiders did lose Joe Tarpany earlier. That was a massive loss for them, but still. It's reverberated all around Australia as far as them quotes have gone. And I think Ricky's resigned to the fact now that he'll probably be sitting out this week.
Well, it is. You bang on. It is unprecedented because we've never seen a coach target a player so personally away from. There was a football incident that sparked the tirade, but then, it, as you say, it went back to an incident that's 12 years old. I've been thinking about this, and MG, you have been. This has been the much discussed issue in NRL since it happened, and understandably, and it's run off on all different tangents, some which we don't need to get into, frankly. And you've said your piece, and people who follow the game of rugby league will be aware of what's gone on in that space. I was thinking about it today. You just can't have a hair trigger as a coach anymore. The world we live in now, you cannot go into a press conference having not essentially thought through what you're going to say. And I think if you look at the best of them, Wayne Bennett, who the media will say gives them nothing, but he doesn't have to give them anything. Wayne Bennett is measured, is controlled, rarely, if ever, over his career as a coach has lost his marbles in a press conference. And that's why he's so good at what he does, because he's prepared and concise and knows how he wants to handle every situation. Ricky's gotten, you know, the red mist has descended for a moment. And we've seen Ricky do this over the years. It's the reason he's copped these fines over the years. You just can't do it anymore as a coach.
No, I think if anything, he gives too much in them press conferences. And, you know, it's part of the duty of being a coach and a captain of a club. You've got to go in and represent your club in good, bad and ugly circumstances. And that wouldn't have been the best circumstance to walk into a dressing room or in a press conference after you've been beaten. A game you were supposed to win, a game would have put you probably in the eight for this season. So a lot of compounding factors are happening. But still, it's an astonishing, it's a personal attack on something that happened when these kids were apparently 11. You know, I don't want to go into that side of it again because it's just quite bewildering, to be honest. If this had happened maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that something had happened between them, I'd say, well. But the fact that he hadn't brought it up in 12 years is the fact that it makes me believe it was a bit of a smother as far as his team went, as their performances. Look, it's something that we'll read a lot more about today, I would imagine. I think that we're going to see something first in rugby league. We're going to see Ricky Stewart suspended, and Obviously, apart from Shane Flanagan with the saga at the Sharkies, it's never happened before in NRL history. So,
and I've read today the Raiders have offered Ricky some time away, which he's declined. Is that what's being reported?
Yeah.
So he obviously.
Well, I think he might reconsider that. I think it'd be best for him, his family, his team, just to get away for a week. Just put the clipboard down, put the whistle down, put the thoughts down, and just, you know, let the assistant coaches and the players try and get a win for you to keep your finals and your competition sights alive.
Not that you ever had to deal with this in your playing career, MG, but can you try and imagine what the players, the Canberra Raiders players, are thinking at the moment? Is there any? Have they seen their coach defending Tom Starling or defending the playing group after a loss, or do they see? Is there any chance some of them are looking, going, "Oh, what are you doing, Rick?"
Well, look, that's hard to read the room. You know, it really is. I think the majority are on Ricky's side, or probably all of them. You know, the way he fought back from what seemed a unredeemable situation at the start of the year and last year with Hodgson, and we saw Williams leave. Then there was the Tarpany exchange. Yep. And so there was rumours that the playing group were a little bit off him, but he seems to have galvanised that. And that usually happens when you're winning games, and they've been really good in the last 2 months. Started off the season, you know, without a hooker, without a halfback, and somehow they've managed to get up to ninth position. If they beat the Panthers last week, they'd be sitting on 24 points with the Roosters. So it was a massive game. And I think just the magnitude of how big a loss that was to Penrith contributed to the remarks. I have no doubt in the world that that wasn't premeditated. I know it wasn't premeditated because, you know, they brought the incident up on Starling, and then all of a sudden Ricky's kind of mouth just went, and I don't think even he could believe what was coming out of it. So I'm going to cut him some slack because it's a high pressured game, but you just think you don't get personal. You don't get personal on a platform that's supposed to be talking about rugby league, and that's why he's going to be held accountable.
Hopefully we move on from this. Hopefully the narrative in the media in particular can move on from this properly, because we have a really fascinating end of the regular season finals on the way. It is, there's anyone out there who can confidently tell you what the grand final is going to be, and I don't think the level of confidence about the Panthers is as high as it was, you know, perhaps leading into Origin, but there
even,
is...
Even a month ago. Jerome Luai. Yeah.
But we're going to get to some other contenders very shortly. Want to talk about a team down the back end of the table. Look, the Tigers aren't going to be competing, but they have had some movement at Leichhardt this year. We now know that Tim Sheens is going to be taking over as the coach for the next two seasons. Benji Marshall will take charge after that. And this next year in particular was the year that they were meant to get all these, you know, big names through the door. Appy Korosau's coming. A perfect number nine, a leader, a guy that can move you around the field nicely. Isaiah Papali'i was this young jewel that was meant to be coming over from Parramatta, 23 years of age. Parramatta got him on a bargain basement contract, and all of a sudden he just went bang. He was the buy of the season last year. And now the whispers are growing ever stronger that he looks set to backflip on that deal. I think, producer Charlie, we've got a bit of audio of Isaiah.
Obviously, people ask me about it, just even on the street, or family and friends are hitting me up, but that's kind of for my manager to look after. And even if I don't stay here or I do go next year, I want to make sure that this year has no regrets. When I went and did sign, it was talking to Madge, and he was an awesome coach. It kind of rattled the cage a bit, and I guess you had to have those conversations, and I guess that was a massive factor for me. Let this distract me at the moment, because we have a massive opportunity and I don't want to left any stone unturned this year and look back at it and be like, oh, I shouldn't have let that stuff get in the way.
Yeah, good. Look, I think he's nailed it. I applaud the kid for his words. In a nutshell, he's saying, I don't want to talk about that shit. I want to talk about winning the comp with Parramatta. Then I can worry about the peripheral things that are happening in my life. But at the moment, I don't want to get to September, or I don't want to get to the end of the year and people say, oh man, your mind wasn't on the job. I think he's handled that beautifully, to be honest. You know, there's players around the land who are all feeling very similar, I would imagine, that they made the right decision, i.e. Matt Burton, you know, kick out as well was you know, rumoured to be not happy, but now they're all been, I think all the, especially the Doggies fans, if Serrato is going there, well, they're going to be, you know, especially the ex-Penrith players, they'll be sweet. It'd be a shame to see Papali'i not go to the Tigers. I know that he's, you know, he's committed to them. I think it'd be a real travesty for the Tigers, who look like some brighter days are ahead for them, and I think he could be a big part of that, if not even a captain, a future captain for the Tigers. I think Appy in the formative years that he's there, he might be the captain of the Tigers because he's such a good leader. But yeah, look, Benji, depends what his relationship is like with Benji, I would say, Isaiah's, but I would imagine being a fellow Kiwi, it'd be great. But he did say that he agreed to go there on the terms that Madge McGuire was going to be coach. And sometimes you might have something written in your contract. If he gets the arse, well, I can renegotiate. So we don't know. I like the way he's so transparent, but in that chat, yeah, by saying people are hitting him up, family, he basically wants to say, you know what, I don't want to answer that because I just want to play footy for Parra and try and win the comp for him. And let me tell you, they're up to their eyeballs in this competition this year.
Turn the phone off, Isaiah. Go and get yourself a Nokia 3210 or whatever they are these days that only receives phone calls from, you know, numbers that you allow.
And there you go.
A landline installed, Isaiah.
I didn't know. That's right. Landline, they called them. Oh,
yeah. Get a landline installed.
No one will bug you.
But I agree with you, MJ. I thought he spoke really well there. I was interested to hear that it seems like Madge's hard-nosed approach, which we know has put players offside. I think that was a part of the motivation for Souths getting rid of Madge after they won the comp, is that the players were exhausted by his style. But yep, it seemed like that was a carrot for Isaiah Papali'i. He wanted to work under a coach who is going to, you know, give him a kick up the ass when needed and be hard and drive expectations.
Well, by all accounts, Brad Arthur does the same. That's why he kind of, if you think you're a Parra fan and or a Tiger fan, you think he might be balking, then I think it's just the young kid who's got one eye on the prize. I don't think he has even given a thought to staying at Parramatta or leaving to go to the Tigers. He knows he signed a 3-year deal. He knows his management will look after it. And he knows if he keeps playing the way he does, that everything will take care of itself.
He's 23 years of age.
He's a baby.
And last year, and even this year, he's been playing good. But last year, it was just such a, where has this guy come from? Like the scene in Cool Runnings, where do these guys come from? Jamaica. Isaiah Papali'i just came out of nowhere and was just dominating on that edge, and he really is kind
he's
of
fit.
A, you know,
he's
his
fit.
First pick.
You can
fit.
Tell how fit he is. Yeah.
Defends well. He brings everything. So if you're Parramatta right now, it's hard because Parramatta would want to be having
Tigers,
the same attitude.
If you're Parramatta or the Tigers, you're praying that he picks you.
But if you're Parramatta right now, you'd want to have the same attitude of Isaiah Papali'i, which is, let's just focus on the footy. But also, the decision makers should be working overtime in the background with Isaiah's manager to figure out what it's going to take to keep this bloke.
Yep, I agree. Then he shouldn't have to be privy to it. He should just worry about, you know, there's a month of NRL to go. As you said, the business end of the season is almost upon us. Round 22 looms. Once this round's over, we're really into the business end of the season. And as I said, Parramatta are up to their eyeballs in this season. They had two great wins back to back, and we're going to hear about Mitch Moses in a minute about how good young Jake Arthur's coming along. But yeah, Parramatta, that win against Penrith, obviously tainted, but I don't think it was, because in the first 15 minutes before Nathan was sent, they were winning 12-4. They were there to play. And a lot of people, including myself, didn't think that would be able to back it up against Manly the following week because of Manly having all the players back and a lot of emotion, you know, being at Four Pines and stuff. But that was probably their best win of the season, I would say, Parramatta's, because they did it without Mitchell Moses, and Dylan Brown kind of went, okay, I've got to do more on the footy field for my team to win. And I think you kind of watched the game and you saw the penny drop. You know, it's just where you went, okay. MG's a good player when he runs the footy. It's just, man, such a good player when he runs the footy.
Let's get into the Parramatta. In fact, let's get this audio producer, Charlie. This is Mitchell Moses on the Saturday scrum last weekend, just gone, speaking about the performance of Jacob Arthur and what that young man has had to deal with.
I couldn't wait to hug him after the game. That was how much it meant to, you know, all the other boys that seen No, not so much that he shows what's happened, but, you know, we all see it. And it would be hard on him and Brad as, you know, Brad is his old man. And to show how resilient the kid is, he's gone back, worked on his craft. As a 19-year-old, you probably don't expect him to come back out of half time there and take the game away.
Mm. Yeah. Talk about also, he's 19 years of age.
And this is coming from Mitchell Moses, who, man, he knows all about being one of them, you know, players that divide opinion over the last 5 or 6 years of his first grade career. You know, it's only now that he's getting the plaudits, and last year got the New South Wales jersey. But, you know, he's been leading the assists in the NRL for a long time this year now, Mitch Moses. And for him to pass on such big remarks about the guy who took his spot, you know, they see it. They can imagine how hard it would be to be the coach, the son of the coach in your rugby league team. You've got to be the best player almost.
Imagine if Jamin Salmon kicked him in the balls accidentally.
Well, Jesus Christ. It'd be World War III. But that's I admire A, Brad Arthur, for picking his son, and I admire B, Jake Arthur, for saying, "Dad, I'm not going to let you down." And he, you know what? I watched the game really closely. You didn't see much of Jake for the first 15, 20 minutes, and that was by design. And then all of a sudden, he came into his own. He was throwing some beautiful passes. He's a good defender. And he's only 19, as you mentioned, Liam. So, yeah, the kid's legit. And there's other clubs who are hunting for him as well. I know at least two or three other clubs who want his services. So he's going to be a keeper for the Eels. He's going to be a really good player come, you know, when he turns 21, 22.
And just for comparison as well for people out there, because this age, this maturity thing, I mean, God, we're talking about Jamin Salmon being allegedly a weak-gutted dog when he was 12. Jacob Arthur is 19. Toby Sexton is 21 years of age, right? This is a kid who is carrying the weight of a club in the halves for the Titans and he's been given a lot of leash because of his age. Jacob Arthur is 19.
Yeah.
And it's just because he's got of his surname and who his father is that this extra level of scrutiny is there. You know, if I was him, I'd be half tempted to change my bloody surname. Anyway, looking at the Eagles,
just
though,
MG. Just mix them around. Call himself Arthur Jacob.
Arthur Jacob. Arthur, now that's a throwback of a rugby league player, isn't it? He sounds like he could have played in the 70s.
I'd be worried about playing against a bloke called Arthur. I'd say he'd be a big tough bastard like Arthur.
Horrible
Beetson
bloody
was.
Arthur. All right, we think we've probably solved Jacob Arthur's career there for the time being. Looking at their run home, the Eels, though, seriously, Ben Teo picked him to win the comp at the start of the year. He was confident. Yep. He said, despite Panthers, despite the Storm, despite everyone else, he picked Parramatta. And looking at their run home, honest run home. You're going to get
this Friday is the big test.
I know Panthers play Storm this weekend.
Three massive games coming up.
But Parramatta Bunnies is the game I want to watch. They take on the Bunnies, and then they get a Bulldogs who are in, you know, that season-ruining mode that they always find themselves in the back half of the year at the moment.
And just beat them recently.
Then they travel to Brisbane, Suncorp Stadium, to tackle the Broncos, who are wavering at the moment, a little bit funky at Red Hill. And then it's a season to finish the regular season with a home game against the Melbourne Storm. So that is a really honest run home for Parramatta. And you and look, if they are a top four side off the back of those final four games, watch out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I really think that they're coming. I think the teams like Melbourne. Look, every time you say something negative about Melbourne, they just come and, you know. But obviously, that game last week against the Titans, you know, they didn't really put the Titans to bed. They end up, you know, on the back of Cam Munster's 3 tries. Obviously, they won convincingly, but was it convincingly? I don't know. They play the Panthers this weekend, this Thursday, in a couple of nights' time at Bluebet Stadium. But yeah, the Eels, for mine, okay, they're on 28. Same amount as Melbourne Storm. And Storm's got a little bit more of a harder run home, especially with the injuries to Jerome Hughes just the other night.
Yeah, another one.
You know, they've been hit the hardest. They're the Roosters from last year. So they've had to call upon troop after troop after troop. And the troops are starting to run out, to be honest, especially the forwards. Kafusi, unfortunately, and sending our best to him. His father passed away in America today, so he's flown to America, so he'll be out for a couple of weeks leading up to the finals. And he's one of their real staunch back rowers who they need. Big loss for him, for them.
For those wondering what the run home it is, they take on the Panthers this weekend or this Thursday night. Then they travel to Brisbane for a game against the Broncos. Roosters at home, Amy Park. and the Eagles to finish the season. So they're playing all final sides on the run home.
That's a hard run. That's a hard run. And I reckon the Eels would have one eye, even the Rabbitohs for that matter, would have one eye on that fourth position because you know that you can't win the comp unless you come fourth. So history will tell you that. So the Panthers have wrapped top spot up at 38, or have they? I would say they have after that win against Canberra.
Yeah, Panthers
Cowboys,
are home.
Cowboys 32, then Sharkies 30. There's your top three. Top four is going to be very, very interesting because it's out of Melbourne, the Eels, and the Rabbitohs. And one of them team are going to finish fourth and give themselves every chance to win this comp.
And I know we are going to talk about, I want to talk about Souths and Roosters for a moment, but just quickly to touch on those top four sides, MG. Todd Payton v. Craig Fitzgibbon, coach of the year.
Yeah.
Who you got?
It's got to be Payton. It's got to be Payton because I think even though Fitzgibbon has done a remarkable job, I think that just given the sheer volume of so-called punters who said that the Cowboys would come last because of their roster, I think he deserves to be coach of the year. They're coming second. They've found something in their club, and I think it was all to do with the off-season, training their asses off, running up Castle Hill, that big hill, if you know, in Townsville, getting early wake-up calls and training, you know, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning and going up and doing it and not stopping until the last bloke beats a certain time. They discovered some resilience, and that's all that's been missing from them. You know, they've... For the last 5 or 6 years since JT's vacated the premises, they've just been a bit of a ship without a rudder. But they've found their rudder in their intensity. And you throw a guy like Chad Townsend to steer that ship around, and all of a sudden they are a juggernaut of a team because they've got those young kids coming through.
And their skipper's back to his best as well, Jason Taumalolo.
Well, he is. No one's talking about him, but the only thing we're talking about him for the last couple of years is he's not getting enough time. Now we don't talk about him because they've got Nenai and they've got Tuilagi and they've got, you know, Val Holmes and
Cotter.
The centre's going well and Reuben Cotter and Neen, the bloke off the bench, the Kiwi off the bench who's scoring try after try. So, look, they're looking fantastic. But on the other hand, Craig Fitzgibbon, what he's done with his team is nothing short of a miracle.
The reason I ask is because I think the Sharks will finish second. I'm looking at the run homes for the both side. Sharks got Tigers, Manly, Bulldogs, Knights. They are playing all their games, come up against teams that will not be playing finals. On the other side, you've got the Cowboys who've got to tackle the Roosters, the Warriors, the Bunnies, and the Panthers. And the Cowboys are only a game ahead.
You could be right.
So I think the Sharkies finish above the Cowboys.
I think you could be right. Who the Sharks play next week after this? They've got the Tigers this week on Saturday.
Manly at Four Pines.
Yeah, that could be the one. That could be the game. That could be the game that unsets the apple cart. But
keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, that's
let's
a big
talk
game.
About let's talk about the book of feuds. Souths and Roosters, both teams. I mean, the Roosters are only just in the eight. If the Raiders had won, the Roosters probably still be in the eight. The Roosters sitting eighth, but in good form.
If you ask me right now, which team don't I want to play in the eight? That's them. I don't want to play the Roosters.
There's an exercise for us. Right, you're the Panthers. You're a Panthers man. Give us the – you got power rank the teams you least want to see in finals.
Oh, I don't want to play the Roosters. I really don't want to play the Roosters, and I don't want to play the Rabbitohs because Luttrell, as we keep speaking about on this very podcast, is reminiscent of Tommy Turbo last year. He demonstrated that again last week. Played 50 minutes and scored 24 points. Him and Cam Murray are starting to find some incredible form. Cooks on the back of that. Ilias is starting to... One player lights up the whole forest. And Luttrell has done that. Luttrell has brought back the funk that South Sydney needed.
He's the fire starter.
Yeah, he is. I am a fire starter.
Who sang that song?
Prodigy.
Just did fire starter. Prodigy. Well done.
Prodigy. And I think the Roosters are the same. I think the Roosters... Full strength with Victor Radley, you know, cutting his head open each week and just saying, "Bring it on." And Hargraves, what about?
He does that in the rooms before he runs
what
out.
What about they've got a bloke who could play Origin? He's had a checkered career, but Matt Lodge, what a bloke to get at the business end of the season for the Roosters. I mean, come on. And what he's doing, he's watching the alpha male in Hargraves, and he's feeding off it like a pup watching his dad go out to bury it, you know. bury a bone. As he's going, oh, that's how you do it. You do it that way, Dad. I've been doing it this way. But this is that's an easier way, Dad, that I can do it. So, yeah, okay. And they've, mate, you know, Butcher in the back row, and they've just been really, really good. Sawali's got a tour. He's got to go away on the Kangaroo Tour for the World Cup. I think he's the perfect development player to take on a tour like that. I think Dylan Edwards should also be rewarded with a berth on that trip because he can play anywhere in the back. He's just been so good. He's like against the Raiders last week with a bung shoulder. Man, he was good. Jeez, he was good. It was one of the individual performances of the year. So to back to your point, to power rank them, obviously Storm are always a worry from a Panther.
Mm.
Also the Eels because they've beaten us twice this year.
You know, I was just looking through the ladder. It's real. There's, with all due respect, the team you'd probably pick is the Broncos. That's probably the team you'd pick to play if you had a choice. Pick.
Yeah, if you had a choice.
But everyone else is terrifying in their own way.
Of course they are. And that's that is the best thing about finals footy. Yeah, it's the best thing about it. You know, the weather gets warmer, the smell in the air is different. And playing footy, especially if it's a 4 o'clock in the Arvo day, it's just nothing better around finals time because you know you're only a couple of games away from winning a comp, maybe.
I'm going to go and put the hard word on my man Dobbo after this. I want to know what the hell's going on at the Bronx because they're free falling.
They're backpedaling, aren't they? They are. There's something in the resolve that we spoke about, the resolve of the Cowboys before, and their game against the Dogs, they were in a little bit of danger for a while there, the Cowboys, but then they got out of third gear and went, okay, see you boys, put their foot down the accelerator and went, well, if we're going to be a team that's going to be considered to be premiership, you know, aspirations about us, we've got to beat teams like the Bulldogs. Where the Broncos getting beat by the Tigers has been a big kick in their guts, I think. Then they put 30 on them. The Roosters have now put 30 on them. So there is some concern. There is some, let's not forget they've got some cattle out that are much needed. And Carrigan's loss is massive.
The Carrigan suspension has been huge.
Yeah, but he did play against the Tigers. So, you know, I think Herbie Farnworth out in the centres is one of the biggest losses they've got. I think he's, you know, they kind of covered for him for a few weeks, but now they've got a glaring omission out there in the back line and it's hard to fill for them. It's a really hard spot to fill for them. So, yeah, look, Adam Reynolds can only do so much with his trickery and his wizardry. The other players around him have got a lift, and at the moment, this is another really danger game for them coming up. You'd think they will beat the Knights, but the Knights had a win last week, and there is talk that Kalen Ponga might be back. We'll find out later today with the team list Tuesday. But yeah, look, it's interesting. Broncos for mine, they're the most disappointing team in the top eight at the minute.
They're the ones in danger now too. I'm still bullish on the Raiders, despite everything that's gone on. I think if Ricky is out this weekend and isn't there for the Dragons, I think that'll only inspire his players more, and I think they go out there and play for Ricky. I think the Raiders probably run home 4-0. I think they win
their remaining game. What have the Raiders got? Go through the
Dragons this weekend, then the Knights away, then they host Manly in Canberra. And then they play West Tigers at Leichhardt to finish the regular season Sunday afternoon at Leichhardt.
Four games they should win, but you think they've got to get to at least 26 points and win at least three of them?
The Broncos are three games clear of them. And this is the Broncos' run home. And this is why this weekend is so important. Knights, then they play the Storm, then they play the Eels, then they play the Dragons. Now, if the Broncos win one of those games, they'll probably make the eight because of four and against.
Yeah.
But if they lose this weekend, then they have to go and play Melbourne, or they play Melbourne at home. Then they have to play the Eels at home. Suddenly, final Saturday of the regular season, they travel down to Sydney to take on the Dragons, needing a win to make finals potentially.
Yeah, that's...
And if you reckon Anthony Griffin wouldn't love to spoil the Brisbane Broncos party.
Well, there's so much riding on this game then, isn't there? Between the Raiders and the Dragons this weekend. There'll be a lot of emotion in Canberra. I mean, the faith will be out there. The drums will be beating, and they'll be, especially the fact if Ricky isn't there, the players will be breathing fire. It's an assignment I wouldn't relish if I'm a rugby league player going down there after the controversy that's happened this week. So, Yeah, given Dragons, take your armory because you need it.
Is Tarek Sims suspended for this one?
He's out for the year.
Oh, geez, that's a shame. Geez, that's a shame.
He's played his last game for the Drags, unfortunately.
I mean, who would have thought that the Dragons would be the team that had such a say on the finals when they're not going to make it? Wow. All right, let's get stuck into the tipping for the week ahead, MG. It's a good round of footy. Oh. Noise aside, it is a really good round of footy. Let's start Thursday night. Panthers Storm. It's what many tip to be the grand final again this year. And even with everything that the Storm has had to endure, they're still sitting fourth, so it's a top four clash here.
Quite remarkably. Yeah, this is if I look at all the games in round 22, this is on the podium is one of the best three. Obviously, Penrith and Melbourne, they played in the grand final 2 years ago. They played the prelim last year. They have a healthy rivalry between each other. And now we've got Brandy and Cam Smith at each other as well. but, you know, that's all in jest. I mean, this is two teams who respect each other, the hell out of each other. And Thursday night, their task just got a little harder, the Storm, without Kafusi. And if Hughes is out, you've got to favour the Panthers.
Even without Luai and Cleary?
Yeah, I think so. I thought they showed in Canberra. You know, I think Kikau will be back. He had a little hip complaint. Yeah. Fisher Harris is out. So sorry, I forgot about him. He's suspended. So yes, the task is going to be harder because Munster is in the Storm, and whenever Munster is in that Melbourne Storm team, you've got to respect the hell out of them. But I still favour Panthers on the home deck.
Just to quickly go back to a point you made, I love that you said that Dylan Edwards should be on the Kangaroos tour because I don't know what award we can create for this guy, but he deserves something. I mean, he won a comp and he probably doesn't chase the individual accolades.
The clubman of the year every year.
But the reality is he's probably never going to get a crack at Origin because of the position he plays.
That's right.
Yet he's been the fullback in the best team in the comp for the last 3 years. His flaw, the gap between his best and his worst is so small because he's so consistent. He just doesn't have bad games. We need to come up with an award for him.
The Energizer battery, because he runs rings around the guys at pre-season training. He's the fittest by a long, long way. He's got like abnormal fitness levels.
Can we devise some sort of obstacle course for him and Gutho? To go head to head in.
Similar, aren't they? Similar. Mm. It's kind of Dylan Edwards is Gutho 3 or 4 years ago.
Without the dance. I mean, he needs a dance. Dance and Dill.
The Dillarino.
The Dill Bush. Can we get him to do a nut bush style thing? All right. Friday night, Warriors, Bulldogs. This one's at Mount Smart Stadium. Different team, Warriors, when they play home after so many weeks and months away from their home venue. But the Bulldogs are the entertainers of the comp right now.
Yeah, they are, especially with Matt Burton at 5'8". He's in a purple patch of form. But I still think the Warriors at home, every time they play there in the last few weeks, they've turned into a bit of a graveyard. Last week, or the week before last, they didn't. South Sydney spanked them 48 points to 10 last round. So I think they'll be out for some sort of redemption on their home deck. I think Warriors in a very tight one.
Like it. Right. Friday night. This one... As you said, there's three fantastic games, but this one's game of the round for mine. CommBank Stadium, Friday night, under lights, fast deck, Parramatta taking on the Bunnies, 5th v 6th. Love it.
What a game. What a game. I simply can't tip against the Eels at the minute, the way they're travelling. I think I did last week against Manly. I thought Manly would have beaten them. I tipped against them the week before, so I'm not going to do it 3 weeks in a row. I think Parramatta will get the bickies. I think they're going to be too good for South Sydney. Put it this way, Latrell's going to have to play longer than 60 minutes in this game to beat the Eels, and I think he will. But I still think the Eels will prevail.
Bunnies are favourites going into this one, $1.60 at the moment at time of recording.
So what are Eels? Eels
are $2.35.
God, get on.
At home, at the ground where, MG, you famously declared them a one try better side because of just the environment
that
stadium creates.
8 points. Two tries.
Oh, sorry, two tries. Yeah. Two tries, no conversions.
Yep.
Because Mitchell Moses is out and he's not kicking, sure.
That's it, right.
Right, then we get into what is probably the other game on the podium for this round.
Yep.
the resurgent Roosters, sitting in eighth, but playing a lot better than that, taking on the Cowboys at the SCG. Cowboys travelling down. Roosters $1.74. Cowboys $2.10.
Wow. They're short, the Roosters.
Mm-hmm.
Look, what do you got, Roosters? Quite simply, what have you got? Is this when you make your statement? Because what a team to make a statement against. Todd Payton and his team are going to be so pumped up for this game. This is going to be one of them games that you cannot miss. It's a massive game. Wow! First
on a
game
4 and zip winning run, the Roosters at the moment.
Yeah, they are. They're one of the form teams in the comp with the Cowboys, who have won their last three. So these two teams have won their last seven games between them. I'm leaning towards, because of the fact that it's the SCG, the Roosters.
It's going to be a good game. I still think there's people out there that don't believe in the Cowboys. I still think that there are people out there who think at some point the bottom's going to fall out of this Cowboys side.
I don't, for the sheer reason that they had so many players involved in Origin, and they got that taste of big game footy, and that's going to help them come semi-finals and these big games at the end of the year. They won't be daunted by it. So I don't think that's going to be a factor. But in this one, I think it will be. The Roosters will beat them.
I can't. Taumalolo, Warrior Hargreaves at some point during the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the weekend, rather.
Bring it on tomorrow.
Yeah, let's just play it tomorrow. On Saturday evening, Arvo, mid-evening, twilight, whatever you want to call it, the West Tigers go all country and head to Tamworth to take on the Sharkies, the home of the Golden Guitars. It's great that footy's going bush.
Yeah.
It's great that the West Tigers presumably are getting some money put into the coffers for this one. But the Sharks a chance to maybe challenge, maybe leapfrog the Cowboys if they can get the win.
Yeah, and it was good to see the Dogs take their game to Bundaberg for the first time last weekend as well, which is great for tourism. It's great for the locals, the young aspirational kids who go and watch their superstars. And this is no different. Good on your Tigers for doing so. Unfortunately for the Tigers, I think the Sharkies are going to want it more. You keep talking about second spot. And it's a very good point you make. I think the Cowboys and Sharks are vying for it, and this week they could be level after this weekend's round.
You ever play at Scully Park in Tamworth? You ever play at
Yeah,
Tamworth?
I did.
What's
played,
it like?
I played trials there. I played a trial game there. That's a great ground. That's a fantastic ground. Yeah, Tamworth, it's awesome. Mark Ferguson, the newsreader, is from there, from Channel 7.
Fergo, is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Righto. Fair enough. The Tamworth Music Festival and Mark Ferguson. Big things. Righto, then Saturday night, Broncos Knights. Now, we just spoke about it, and it might not look flattering on paper, but this game has some big, big ramifications for the Broncos. This is not season on the line. Well, season on the line.
It is.
They're at
it
home.
It is. If they get beaten by the Knights at home, forget about playing finals footy. They'll free fall. You've got to win this game. You've just had two weeks in a row where you've been very un-Broncos-like for the season. You let the Tigers put 30 on you, then you put the Roosters put 30 on you, which is... Now, if the Knights beat them, well, that's it. I'll put a red pin. The red line's going through the Broncos if the Knights beat them.
Well, I'll tell you what. If the Knights beat them, you take the lid off the red pen, and then on Sunday at 2 o'clock, when the Raiders tackle the Dragons, if the Raiders get the chocolates, that's when you draw the line through the Broncos, because then the Raiders start to rise.
True. Yeah, true. So the Raiders have got to win. The Raiders have got to win, and I think they will against the Dragons. I think that last week they learned so many lessons about emotion and how to channel it properly. And I think that, especially without their coach, Ricky Stewart, being there, they'll want to win it for Ricky. As long as they don't get too emotional about the whole situation, it's going to be one of them games I can't wait to watch. It's going to be a fantastic game.
My bold
game.
Prediction I'm is leaning... in this game, I think Jack Whiten scores 2+ tries.
Wow.
I think
wow.
He leads from the front in the absence of Sticky. I think he'll be inspired, Jack Whiten. And I'm thinking back to game one, State of Origin, the way he played for New South Wales before he got struck down with COVID. He scored that first try, and he was probably New South Wales' best in that game. And then because of COVID, and some would say that he should have been back for game three, but that's done now. But I think that Jack Whiten is a bloke now who he's grown up a lot since he's become a father. And I think you talk about not getting too emotional. I think he's the sort of bloke that'll find the perfect balance for this one, and he'll be massive.
Yeah, I like that. My upset of this round is the next game. I think the Titans might upset the Seagulls.
Don't tease me, MG. Don't tease me.
I think they've got to win. Manly have got a pretty hard run home, and I don't think they've got to win every game to make at least be. So I think the Titans on home deck might be a little bit too hungry.
Don't tease me like that.
That's my upset of the round. What's the odds?
Manly a favourite, $1.45 favourites. Titans are $2.75.
Yeah.
Here's what
with a good bookmaker, you get $4 on Titans.
The Titans, if they win and the Sharkies get the job done against the West Tigers, Titans could climb off the bottom of the ladder.
That's incentive. To me, that's incentive. Yep.
I'm gonna put a call into Justin Holbrook. I'm gonna get on
and
the
if phone. The Tigers beat the Sharks and the Knights get beaten and the Titans win, we could have a three-way battle. And if the Warriors get beaten, we've still got four rounds to go, we could see a lot of teams finishing on 12.
You're telling me there's a chance.
I'm telling you there's a chance, Lloyd. A 1 in 1,000,000, but there's a chance.
All right, so the bold predictions for this weekend. I'm saying Jack Watton has a monster game against the Dragons for the Raiders in the absence of Ricky Stewart, scores 2+ tries. MG's got the Titans to cause an upset over Manly and draw a line through their finals chances for good. Hey, big fella, been a strange old week. Been a tough one for you, but it's always a pleasure to sit down and talk some rugby league with you.
Love you, buddy. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you, Charlie. Take it easy, boys.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye, boys.
Bye, mate. You're awesome today, brother.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.